Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to the second part of last week's episode. Let's jump back in.
What is your ideal client that you're willing to work with, want to work with, and what is it, maybe the minimum size of a business or an employer that you can help? Do they need 25 employees, 50 employees, 1,000 employees?
Yeah, typically for self-funding in the area that I work in, it's going to be 50 to 500. Now, certainly we can work with larger groups, and it just, the savings just skyrocket when you think about it because of the law of large numbers. But 50 to 500. Now, because of stop-loss insurance, and I won't get into the deep weeds of stop-loss, but because of the creativity of the insurance carriers today, and I don't mean the book, because I'm talking about people actually write stop-loss for these self-funded plans, you can actually underwrite a group of 10. I don't like to do that just because I can't spread out the risk enough, but they will actually cover a group of 10 in terms of a self-funded plan. So if you're a business owner and you've got 12 or 15 employees and you want to look at these alternatives, absolutely available to you. It's not out of reach. You know, you don't have to have one size fits all with the BUCAs. You can go to and look at these alternatives in terms of the self-funded options.
So let's say we're dealing with a business owner who has a company with, just pick a number, 100 employees. Okay.
Sure.
And you know, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of premiums and costs, but you're offering an alternative, right? A non-traditional Correct. Approach. Hopefully they're going to get better service, a better care, or at least equivalent care, at least the same or better attention, maybe a better experience.
Oh, maybe, without a doubt.
Maybe the employee is going to get some coaching on how to use the medical system,
yep,
how to access it, and how to make better choices. We're not going to run to the ER at the hospital because my kid has a nosebleed, right?
Right.
So that kinds of thing. So, and for a business owner who needs to be concerned about the bottom line, what could that business owner potentially save in out-of-pocket dollars when you design a plan such as this?
Yeah. That's a great question. You know, in the first year, Joe, what we try and do is, number one, we try and mirror their current benefits. So it is different. It is a challenge. It is, we got to educate the employees for sure. And what we try and do is we want the maximum, and I'm going to use some language here, we want maximum liability to be equal to their current premiums. So what that means is, again, maximum liability. Because of the claims bucket, though, there's going to be money left over at the end of the year. Because of the way, again, we design it for the primary care, the prescriptions, the direct contracts, the surgeries, all of those are in that claims bucket. And so we can, again, affect what's coming out of that claims bucket. And so at the end of the year, I expect to see at least 15%, sometimes 20, 25% savings over their current spend. I had a client, Joe, that was self-funded for over 10 years. We had them. And when we took them off of Blue Cross, we had the marker. We knew, okay, this is what you're paying. And we knew for those 10 years what the premiums were going up at Blue Cross. And so we knew what they would have spent with Blue Cross. And over those 10 years, and this was not a healthy group, they had what we call spec claims, meaning that somebody went over the limits and whatnot because of a surgery, because of a sickness, because of cancer, whatever. So we had, you know, some claims. Every other year we had high claims, but still in those 10 years, we saved them over $1 million. Now, $1 million in 10 years, okay, we saved them $100,000 a year. Well, hey, $100,000 a year in that small company's pocket is better than in the Blue Cross's pocket. I want that business to be successful. I want those owners to be successful. I want their people to have good care. And so if I can save them $1 million, I want them to have that $1 million.
Well, that's money that could go into a retirement plan. That's money that can go into employee bonuses. That's money that could go into improving worksite. That's money that can add to incentives in improving the customer experience. I mean, what can you do with $100,000 extra a year?
Absolutely. That's great. For sure.
That's amazing. That's neat. When I speak with a business owner, like I said, if their second largest expenditure is going to be healthcare, we almost don't even pay any attention to that because it's a given. It's just
correct.
It's a top line cost, but there's nothing we can do about it. We kind of pick our poison, and we work with the broker that we kind of like, and the broker has access to the BUCAs, like you talk about.
Yep.
And the only thing that's going to make a serious change, this is my kind of my interpretation of what I just heard from you. The only thing that's going to make a significant change in the dynamics of their health care and their financial aspects of their health care is looking at the internal aspects of the plan and finding out what are the variables that they can control. So looking at admin versus claims, and specifically how can we manage our access to care, manage our out-of-pocket outlay, and hopefully flatten that curve on future costs. Because it's one thing to say, well, I'm a new broker, I'm going to save you 10% this year. And then next year, I get a 20% increase. And I wipe out the savings that I just got from hiring you in the first place. And it was kind of a bait and switch.
Right, correct.
But what I hear Troy saying is that we want to create a long-term improvement in your out-of-pocket. But it's not just cost. We want to create the same or better quality of your care and save you money at the same time. That is a large undertaking.
It is a long-term strategy, absolutely. And that's why most brokers don't want it. They want to set it and forget it. They want to do their annual enrollment, give the company 7 to 10% increase every year, and they don't want to be bothered by it. It's more work, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it is a long-term strategy, and if the business owner, the CFO, can get that in their head, they can get their employees to buy in. It won't be the first year. The first year will be rocky. I'll be the first to admit that, okay? But in the second year and third year, as you start educating those people and as they start recognizing, you know, when I send an employee home and they've had zero out-of-pocket for a hernia surgery, they're going to tell people about, oh, I called the Care Navigator, and you know what it cost me? It cost me zero. I didn't pay a dime out of pocket. Wow. But really, you went through the normal system, and you didn't follow the instructions, and it cost you $5,000. I'm sorry, but I cost zero for me. That's the water cooler talking. That's what takes place over time, and it helps encourage everybody. Hey, if we agree, and what happens, Joe, is the company is saving, you know, $80,000 or $25,000 for that surgery. The company is saving that. It's not coming out of the claims bucket. And what the company is saying to the employees is, if you listen to what they're instructing us to do, if you call the Care Navigator and go to the surgery center that we told you to go to, we're going to share those savings with you in the form of no out-of-pocket, no coinsurance, no deductible. That's our part of it. So we're trying to help you keep your money in your pocket. That's a big thing for a company to say. Again, it's a long-term strategy that, again, we have to educate people about.
Well, I'm sold. I'm sold. Before we go, I want to make sure that we give out your website.
Sure.
And or your whatever contact information that you prefer people use.
Absolutely. Yeah, TroyReichert.com, or you can go to MyHealthcareReimagined.com. Both of those websites will give you insight and information about this stuff. My books are on there. I wrote a second book called Healthcare Reimagined, and that one is all about basically the direct contracts, about using different providers than just going to the hospital all the time. So there's a lot of great information in that as well. So
awesome. Awesome. So TroyReichert.com.
Correct.
Right, TroyReichert.com. And if you forget or can't locate that information, get back to me, anybody, and I'll put you directly in touch with Troy. Troy is a friend, and he's someone who I believe, I should say it this way, I absolutely know that he has this perspective, which I have. We're not necessarily interested in selling you something today that's going to line our pockets. I tell people this all the time. I don't need your money. I have my own. I'm trying to help you improve your life, right?
Amen.
If we can put something in place that can help you, well, then yeah, there will be an engagement, and we'll be compensated for it. But our motivation is not our compensation first. Our motivation is improving your life. Let's see how we can help you. Let's see what improvements we can make. Let's find out where you're at today. Let's find out what your pain points are. I mean, that's sales jargon. You know, salesmen want to know what your pain points are so they could pivot and leverage them against you and sell you something. I want to find out what your pain points are because I want to get rid of those pain points, right?
Man, that's right.
Or mitigate them, relieve that stress and that suffering, and that aggravation and anxiety and blood pressure, right? So life is too short to just go after people for sale. I mean, I could sell stuff all day long if I didn't care about who gets hurt and who loses. But I'd rather take my time and engage in a relationship and find out what you really need, where you want to go, what have you been doing in the past that hasn't been working for you? Because I don't want to, as an old expression, throw out the baby with the bathwater. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If there are things that you're doing that are working, I don't want to break those and try to fix them. I say these all the time. If you have $1 million sitting in a savings account, earning half of a percentage point, I'm not going to abuse you and tell you you're stupid. You know, you've got $1 million. I mean, let's think. You know what we should be doing? We should be taking lessons from that person. I don't care where they have it. They overcame the learning curve that associated with human nature and what we call Parkinson's law. Right? A luxury once enjoyed becomes a necessity. Well, I didn't used to have a heated steering wheel. I have one in my truck now, right? So the human problems, the human conditions go along with every level of earnings, every level of professional or labor, white collar, blue collar. We're all the same in many, many ways. And when we get an extra 10%, an extra 20%, a bump in our income, a bonus, an inheritance, a tax refund. Guess what? It's all going out. The first thing we're going to think of as human beings is, what have I held back from buying or spending that now I can spend and go and buy something? You know, I wanted to get this 72 Corvette that's being sold down the road. This guy's kept it in mint condition. It's in the garage. He can't keep it anymore. He needs the money. I want to buy that thing. Why? Well, okay, fine. If everything else in your life is covered, God bless you, okay? But first thing that people come up with is, hey, I just got a $50,000 bonus out of nowhere, a new account. Where can I spend it? Oh, perfect, fantastic. Well, we don't want you to spend it on needless healthcare costs. And that's why Troy is here. And I don't want to spend it needlessly where you're not going to see some of that money in your pocket 5 years, 10 years, 20 mm-hmm. years down the road. I want to help you create financial integrity and stability and also create financial literacy. I can't say it, but I can spell it. I want to help you create financial literacy for your posterity, for your kids, for your grandkids. We could talk another time about what the country is doing to ruin that forecast because the government is spending more money than we could possibly earn it, more money than we could possibly pay back in taxes. So there are so many things to talk about that we can help you with in terms of education, of putting you on the right path, offering you different options and alternatives, evaluating your current situation, seeing where you're at today, how you got here, and what we can do to help you improve your situation. And that was all very general, but my focus today was visiting with Troy and getting what I consider a treasure out to our listeners and viewers and clients. And I hope that you will reach out to Troy and ask questions of him if you have them and see if he could be a blessing to you. So, Troy, this is fun.
It's been a great conversation. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thank you. It's always an education for me. I just want to kind of sit and be a sponge and learn every single day. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're in business, if you're a professional, you are a continual student of your own profession. And that's what I encourage my young advisors who work with Alpha Mega Wealth to do, is be a student be very careful about who you take on as a mentor. So we'll talk about those things in a future broadcast. And thank you so much, Troy. It's been a great time, and talk to you soon. See everyone soon on the airwaves. This is Make Your Wealth Work. Thanks.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.